Over the next couple of Sundays, two or three Sundays, I want us to look at just how we read different parts of the Bible. The Bible is central to our understanding of our Christian faith. And it's so important that we do, that we not only read, but that we understand and that we live out what we read. It's at the heart of living out our Christian faith. I want you to think for a moment or two about all the things that you might watch on television. You might watch the news, or you might have got to the stage where you don't want to see any more about Brexit, so you don't watch the news. You might watch sports. You might watch the odd quiz program, reality show, a documentary. You might be into the soaps, whatever. There are lots of different things on the TV that we can watch. But I think you realize that you don't watch and interact with each one the same way. You watch and listen to and interact with the news in a very different way than you do with a quiz program or a documentary. How you react to a comedy show on television is very, very different to how you would cope with a football match or a rugby match. The way we watch things, the way we listen to things, the way we interact with them depends on what they are. Depends on what they're supposed to be doing. Something similar happens whenever we read the scriptures. Whenever we look at the Bible, this amazing book made up of so many different smaller books, written by so many different people over a huge period of time, this is God speaking to us through His Word. But it's not all the same all the way through. There are different parts of the Bible that we need to read in different ways. We need to approach them in different ways. We need to listen in different ways. We need to interact with them in different ways. Just as we would with what we watch on TV, except in a much deeper way. So this morning, what I want us to do is very, very quickly just look at some of the big blocks in the Old Testament and tune into those a little bit. The first five books of the Bible, sometimes called the Pentateuch, the Jewish scriptures, it would have been called the Torah or the Law. It's Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And it contains a lot of information. Contains a lot of information that we receive, and we need to look at it in different ways. There are some big themes in these five books, and here they are. We discover that God has chosen His people. And we're introduced to that chosen people. We see God calling Abraham to leave everything that's dear to him, to leave everything in which he finds security and comfort, and to head out to where God will show him, to be the father of the nation. And so God chooses His people. He chooses those people because that's His initiative. He doesn't wait until somebody pops up and says, you know what, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to stand for God. God picks this man, Abraham, and says, Abraham, I'm calling you and your nation. God chooses. And God requires His people to be different. God requires His people to reflect His holiness, His love, His care. God makes this covenant, this agreement. I will be your God. You will be my people. So God's chosen people, His covenant with that people. We see God's law being given because God's people are expected to live in a way that reflects his goodness, his love, his purity, his holiness, God's law. And then God's rescue. Because as you remember, that nation of Israel, meant to be chosen for God, meant to be set apart, to be living in a way that demonstrates the glory of God to the nations, Israel ends up in slavery in Egypt. But God isn't finished. God rescues them. The Exodus, the leaving of Egypt. God at work, choosing his people, making this covenant, giving his law, rescuing his people. As you read through these first five books, those are the big themes. And we read them in different ways. We will read God's law in a different way than we read the history of God's people. But it's important that we do read it. Israel's history. As you move on through the Old Testament, these books from Joshua through to Esther give a history. But the history is not so much just of the nation, of the people of Israel. The history is of God working out his purposes in that people. The history is of God at work amongst his people more than it is just the history of a nation. Israel's history. And as you read through that, you see God's faithfulness and his people's unfaithfulness. You see God keeping to his covenant and his people breaking that covenant time and time again. And yet God in his grace brings them back, rescues them. Israel's history. And we read it and we see God at work. And we listen for what God is doing amongst his people. And we look at how we live. Because God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. We are still his people. He still keeps his covenant in Jesus Christ, but so often we walk away from that covenant. Israel's history. We read it in a different way. Then we read other parts of the Bible, and yet it's there for us. Poetry and wisdom. The books of Job through to the Song of Solomon fall into this poetry and wisdom. We've looked at Proverbs over the last number of weeks, and we've read a lot about wisdom there. Job, the book of Job, is also about wisdom. Poetry is at the heart of the Psalms. The Psalms, one of the most poetic books that we have, not only in Scripture, but people who are into English literature, who are into poetry, recognize the beauty of the Psalms. Even if they don't necessarily agree with what the Psalms are saying, they recognize something of the beauty and majesty of the Psalms. There is a poetry in it. C.S. Lewis said, "The Psalms are poems, and poems intended to be sung. They're not doctrinal treatises. They're not even sermons. They must be read as poems if they are to be understood." And so we read the Psalms in a different way than we read the history or we read the law. But we read and we listen for God speaking to us through this poetry, through this wisdom. The prophets. Isaiah through to Malachi. One of the big themes that runs all through Scripture is that God communicates with his people. God is always speaking to his people. This people whom he chose to be a light to the nations. This people whom he chose to be a model nation so that the others would look at this nation, this people, and see something of the glory of God in them. God always communicates with his people. The book of Hebrews says that You know, in the past, God has spoken to us through our forefathers, through the prophets. But in these days, He's spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God still speaks to His people. And there are some big themes in what God is saying. The prophets remind us again and again that God is sovereign over history. Rulers come and go, empires come and go, but God is unchanging. God is working out His purposes long term. And what is happening? God is sovereign over history. The prophets continually remind us, remind God's people of the need to be right with God. We can't just do our own thing and expect to be right with God. We need to be right with God. We need to live in obedience to this God. It's part of our covenant. I will be your God. You will be my people. You will live in obedience to me. It's about judgment and hope. Because we don't live in obedience, because we're not right with God, judgment comes. But all through that judgment, there is this note of hope and of grace as God reaches out to His people. And of course, there's always that message of the coming kingdom, the long-expected Messiah who would come to set things right. All of Scripture points to Jesus. The Old Testament contains so many different types of writing. We need to be careful how we listen, but we need to listen. We need to read. In Jesus' time, what we call the Old Testament was the Scriptures. So Jesus was saturated in these. When He's tempted by the devil, he speaks back from Scripture. When He's hanging on the cross, He speaks from Scripture. Jesus is saturated in the Scriptures of the Old Testament. Sometimes within the church, we neglect the Old Testament. We tend to think, well, that was different. We're New Testament people. And we almost draw a line under the New Testament and we focus on the Old Testament and we focus on the New. When Paul writes to Timothy, this young man, Paul says to him, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture. And again, in Timothy's day, large parts of the New Testament weren't written. So when the Bible says this, it's talking about the Old Testament. All of Scripture, from beginning to end, is God-breathed. That's important. It's important that we remember that. It's not just the New Testament. It's all of Scripture. All of Scripture. Augustine once said that the New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. We need to read them both to understand God's purposes, to understand God's grace and God's love. Paul reminds Timothy that you've known these Scriptures from infancy. Now, here's a challenge to us. A challenge to us, whether we have our own children or grandchildren around, or whether our children are out the back here in their children's ministry. Are we helping our children to know the Holy Scriptures? Are we helping them to know? Do we read bits with them? Even if it is just a children's Bible, are we helping them to know and to love God's Word from infancy? And the important thing here is that it's not just about filling their heads with facts and information. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's where this is headed. It's not just about head knowledge. It's about coming to realize what God in Christ has done for us and make us wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. God is actively involved in the writing of all Scripture. It may have been written by different people over a long period of time, but it is God-breathed. It is God's word. And so from infancy, we hear it, we learn it, we grow to love it, and we are made wise for salvation. There's our challenge. Do you know Scriptures? We live in a part of the world where we're coming down with Bibles. I would hazard a guess that most homes represented here have at least one Bible, maybe many. And yet, how often do we actually sit down, read God's Word? How often do I sit down with the Bible rather than with the Kindle and the novel? Or sit down in front of the TV and then say, I haven't got time to read my Bible? From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. May God give us an appetite for His Word. May God give us a love for His Word, that it stops being a duty, it stops being a drudge, it stops being something that we simply tick off on our to-do list, but we actually love reading and learning and taking on God's Word. And it all points towards Jesus. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, for no matter how many promises God has made, and when you read through the Old Testament, it is packed full of promises that God makes to His people. No matter how many promises there are, they are yes in Christ. They are yes in Christ. There are promises made to God's people, and in Jesus they are yours. We need to get to know and to love and to trust all of Scripture day by day. All of the Bible points to Jesus. He's the one who takes the law and fills it out. He's the one who follows on from that history of God's people and brings it to this climax. He's the one who is the wisdom of God. He is the one who has brought in the kingdom of God. All of Scripture, all of the Bible, points to Jesus. May we, as God's people, develop this hunger for His Word. May we as God's people allow God's Word so to work in us that His Spirit shapes us and molds us into the people He would have us be. And then may our lives give Him glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You do not stay quiet. We thank You for Your Word. Forgive us when we are slow to read, slow to spend time. But most of all, we thank You for Jesus, who is the living Word. And we pray that as we, together we read your word, that we would be drawn ever closer to Jesus and in him. Find our wholeness. Find our forgiveness. Find our reason for this life and for that which is to come. And all this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.